Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, where today we look at the second part of three parts in the book of Galatians. This is the Raised with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Resurrection Lutheran Church, and 10 minutes every day with life with Jesus meets yours. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I just want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the message that creates faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to reach the goal by the flesh? Did you experience so many things for nothing, if it were indeed for nothing? So then, does the one who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law, or does he do it by your believing what you hear? In the same way as Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe are the children of Abraham. Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, Scripture proclaimed the gospel in advance to Abraham, saying, "In you all nations will be blessed." So then, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The fact: those who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is declared righteous before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law does not say, "by faith." Instead, the law says, "the one who does these things will live by them." Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we would receive the promised Spirit through faith. Brothers, I am speaking in human terms. When someone has established a last will and testament, no one nullifies it or adds to it. The promise God spoke referred to Abraham and to his seed. It doesn't say, "and to seeds," as if it were referring to many, but as referring to one, "and to your seed, who is Christ." What I am saying is this: the law, which came into being 430 years after the covenant established earlier by God in Christ, the law does not annul that covenant, with the result that it invalidates the promise. In fact, if the inheritance is by the law, it is no longer by the promise, but God graciously gave it to Abraham by a promise. This is the word of our God. The challenge that the Galatians were facing, and the accusation that they were facing, that you've got Christ, that you're a Christian now, but there's still more you have to do. Don't you know that you have to change your life and you've got to adopt the Old Testament ceremonial law? And so part one, really verses or chapters one and two, after the brief introduction at the very beginning, chapter one and two is basically a little bit of a recounting of history, a little bit of apologetics, where the Apostle Paul proves that he is independent of all other human authority. And he also asserts his direct relationship to Jesus Christ. He didn't receive his gospel from the other apostles, but he received it directly from Christ. And the other apostles recognized him. He even at the end of chapter 2, Paul even corrected the Apostle Peter on the topic of Christian freedom and this law-free gospel. Christian freedom. And so Paul has really proven that he's kind of an expert in this, and that the other apostles are in line with him. And so the idea that some sort of emissaries from Jerusalem or from the area in which the Galatians were living, the idea that those people would come and say, "Oh, but you Galatians, don't you know that you have to do X and Y and Z? You have to change your diet, and you have to change your clothing, and there's this little surgery that we call circumcision, and you've got to only worship on Saturday, and by the way, you can't be working at all on Saturday." And the Galatians are just befuddled by this. And Paul says, "Dear friend, don't you know the freedom that you have in Christ? And so beginning here at the beginning of chapter 3, we see we get to the heart and core of refuting their argument and laying out the doctrine of the gospel of God's free and full and gracious forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And beginning in this chapter, we see that in this gospel that Paul preaches, in which we still share today, we see that both Jews and Gentiles become acceptable to God through faith rather than by works of the law. And in this part that we just looked at today, first of all, Paul's going to bring their Christian experience of the Galatians, the first five verses. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus was portrayed as crucified. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the message that creates faith? Their own experience verifies. Oh yeah, we didn't have to do anything for God to give us his grace and to prove that he was active among us. And so, having begun by the Spirit, are you trying to reach the goal by the flesh? Did you experience so many things for nothing, if it were indeed for nothing? Did you undergo persecution for nothing, Paul says? Remember how firmly you stood in the face of persecution. Remember that Paul himself was taken out of the city and pelted with stones and left for dead, and that he got up and went back into the city to encourage and exhort his congregation one more time before leaving town. And then we have the example of Abraham, the perfect example of justification by faith, which is God gives a promise and Abraham believes it. Verse 6, Abraham believed God, and that belief was credited to him as righteousness. And it's either through belief or it's through works of the flesh and through action. And my question, and the idea that kind of comes up here very strongly, that we really, really have to take seriously, how often does the gospel we preach or believe or confess have conditions put on it? And even in our own minds, well, what do you have to do to be a Christian? Well, you gotta go to church, you got to read your Bible, you gotta live a good Christian life. Well, what do you have to do to be a Christian? Nothing. You have to see Jesus. You have to see this Jesus who died for all people to take away all sin, and that there's nothing that you or I could do to make ourselves Christian. That's conversion in the first place. There's nothing that you or I could do to add to our forgiveness or amplify that conversion or amplify that faith. And Paul really begins to draw that out beginning here in verse 10 when he says, those who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That it's no shades of gray here. It's black and white. If you want to do something and make your own commitment in order to have Jesus forgive you, if you want to, for instance, invite Jesus into your heart and try to fulfill all the conditions that you have to do in order to be a good Christian, then you're compelling yourself to follow the entire law and to keep the law perfectly. Everything written in the book of the law. And verse 11, he brings in the witness from Habakkuk. No one is declared righteous before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Verse 12, and the reverse from the law, from Deuteronomy, the one who does these things will live by them. If you're going to follow the law, you have to follow all of it. And if you want to be righteous, you have that righteousness through faith. And that promise of righteousness through faith extends all the way back through the entire Old Testament to Abraham. And there's no way that somebody, especially in their case, would be able to come into the congregation and say, oh, but if you really want to be a child of Abraham, you have to follow all the rules and regulations, including circumcision, which was the primary law or primary sign of the covenant. It wasn't really given as a law-based obligation, but rather a reminder of the covenant, a reminder that the Savior would eventually come from Abraham's own family, but whatever, they screwed that up too. They came into the congregation and they said, if you really want to become a good Christian, you have to be circumcised. And Paul says, well, if you want to follow the works of the law, you have to keep all of it. And if you're going to be compelled to be circumcised in this matter of Christian freedom, then you're compelling yourself to obey the entire law. And that law says the one who does these things will live by them. But thank God, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He redeemed us in order that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we would receive the promised Spirit through faith. Thanks be to God that our God has fulfilled every aspect of God's law, every single one, completely. And now that complete and utter fulfillment has been given to you and to me. So as you go about your day, thank God for the privilege of prayer. Thank God for fulfilling every obligation that hanged over our head, or hung over our head, I suppose. And thank God for giving us new life with Christ, that He, the Son of God, became a curse to save us from God's eternal curse. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. You could also find us tomorrow night, Wednesday night, with 6 p.m. Lenten supper and 7 p.m. Lenten worship. God bless your day.